Now let me move on into chapter 13 here, because we are going to finish, so help me, friends, we're going to finish this today. Now, as we come here to this 13th chapter, the last chapter that we have first the execution of Paul's apostleship in the first 10 verses, then the conclusion of Paul's apostleship, 11 through 14. Now again, Paul repeats it. This is the third time I'm coming to you. Paul went to him the third time, by the way. And he says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. In other words, Paul's not going on hearsay. Everything is to be authenticated when he gets there. Everything is going to be brought right out in the open. And Paul's going to exercise his office as an apostle. And he's going to show proof of his apostleship through the power of Christ working in Paul's weakness. Listen to him. I told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned and to all other, that if I come again, I'll not spare, since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you it is not weak, but is mighty in you. Paul came there in weakness, but the word of God was mighty and transformed them in this sin-sick city. And we have here, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Now we have here something about the weakness of God. What is the weakness of God? It's when he went to the cross, my friend. That was the weakness of God. And Paul makes it very clear here that we ought to make a regular inventory to see whether we're in the faith or not. Will you listen to this? This is important. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. Now, I think every Christian, regularly, and this hasn't anything to do with free will or election or the security of the believer, but this is an inventory that every believer ought to make. Well, I think we ought to make it two or three times during the year. Examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith or not. You're willing, really, to face up to it. And they should see whether they're in the faith or not. When my daughter was growing up, she made a confession of her faith to her mother when they were back visiting her grandmother in Texas. She came in one day and said to her, out of a clear sky, she said to my wife, said, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And so they went in the bedroom. She got down on her knees and accepted Christ. And so regularly after that, she's just a little thing then, I'd ask her. And finally, when she got up in her teens, she said, Daddy, why do you keep asking me whether I'm a Christian or not, whether I really trust Jesus? I said, I just want to make sure. After all, you're my offspring, and I sure want to make sure. Oh, friends, not only did I do it for her, I did it for myself. I think every believer ought to do that. Now, listen to Paul. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not a reprobate. He said, I want you to know I've made an inventory, and I know I'm not. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Paul says, I just want you folk to be the type of believers you should be. Now here's another great truth. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. My friend, you can't do anything against the truth. I don't worry about these folk today that are disagreeing. That's all right. You can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. This is a great verse. We should declare the word of God, therefore not defend it. It doesn't need defending. Just declare it. Just give it out. Oh, that's the important thing. Let's give it out. We can't do anything against the truth but for the truth. And God will bless that. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong, and this also we wish, even your perfection. Now, what he means is not perfect in the sense we think of it, but that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. that you be mature, that you be mature Christians. Or, what he's really saying is this, grow up. We hear that sometimes. Somebody says to another, why don't you grow up? Well, Paul says, grow up. That's what he means here. He says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the power which the Lord hath given me to edification and not to destruction. Now Paul says that he's glad he can write to them at this time. Now he says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect. Again, he comes to this. What he's saying is, grow up. Grow up over there in Corinth. And that's something you could say to a lot of churches today and to a lot of believers today. Well, why don't you grow up? Stop this baby stuff and be of good comfort. Now we are back at the word that began this epistle, the comfort of God. What does it mean again? It means help. It means one call to our side to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. And God wants to do that today for you, friend. I don't know who you are, where you are, how you are, why you are, but out yonder, he wants to help you. And he can help you through his word and ministering to you by the Holy Spirit. He can help you. Oh, my friend, this is great. And what a great verse we just had. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Oh, to go forward today for God. Now he says here, be of one mind, that is, the mind of Christ. Live in peace. Now, you live in peace. You can't make it, but you can live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Now, what is that? What's the peace of God that passeth all understanding? It's peace that he made by the blood of his cross. Live in that peace today. Just rejoice in your salvation. And he says here, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. God's with you. Don't miss that. He's with you today, friends. Oh, how wonderful this is. You're not alone. He's with you today. And then he's very personal here at the end. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I hope you won't mind me telling this. The late Dr. Walter Wilson and a friend came to see him and his lovely wife. And the friend greeted Dr. Wilson, because he was such a wonderful saint of God, with a kiss. And then he kissed his wife. And he said to Dr. Wilson, he says, now when I greet you, it's a holy kiss. But when I kiss your wife, wow. May I say to you, friends, make sure it's a holy kiss. If you're going to kiss the sisters, I would suggest that we confine it to our same sex, by the way. Now, verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And here he ends with that word, you all. So don't mind my accent, because Paul had the same accent, friend. He says, may all of the blessing of the Trinity be with you all. And that means all of you out there today. Oh, friends, we ought to revel in what we have in Christ. And today, we ought to try to bear a witness today, not only to the world, but in our church. There ought to be a real witness there today. And by the way, there are a lot of churches, it's difficult. It's easier to bear witness in the world today than it is in some churches. And that's true. But if you're in that church, you and I should bear witness. Well, this brings us to the end of 2 Corinthians. We'll see you next time in the book of Esther.